Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. It's the day before Thanksgiving, so we're going to have a lot of callers today. There are callers currently in the queue, and we're going to be getting to you shortly just after we do our announcements. We aren't doing a show on Friday, so we will be back on the air next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. The call-in number for the show, 914-338-0164. Callers, if you'd like to speak with us, we've got some people waiting in the queue without one press. Please press one if you'd like to speak with us. That helps us know that your hand is raised. Area code 206, area code 661, you're just in the queue without your hand raised. So we don't know if you want a reading or not. If you would like a reading, please raise your hand. 206 still has not, so I guess we will not bring them on. All right. Would love it if callers, listeners joined us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can click on the follow button, follow our show, and you'll get connected to our announcements, updates, etc. We also have two accounts on Facebook, Neil Baker Psychic, which you can like, and Neil and Kristen Baker, which you may follow. 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation. Let's bring on our first caller, 404.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, what's your name?
Ashia.
Ashia?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
How do you spell that, please?
A-S-H-I-A.
A-S-H-I-A. See, we didn't hear all of that. Hold on just a sec.
Okay.
Okay. And Ashia, can you speak up, please, because it's really hard to hear you.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. What about now? Can you hear me?
It's a little bit better, but if you could talk right into your speaker, receiver, rather. Ashia, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Georgia.
Georgia. And what is your birth date? Full birth date, month, day, and year.
February the 3rd, 1987.
1987. I wrote down a 2-5, but you're 1 or 2-3. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, what you saying?
I was just saying that I wrote down a 5 and a 2, which is actually 2-3 is the accumulation of your month and day, and 2 is your month, but I haven't added everything up yet. 5, 15, she's a 30 equals 3. So, your master number is 3, Ashia, and there should have been a change right now. She's going through a change. Yeah, so you're 30 right now.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So what's going on in your life, Ashia?
Well, I just have a question about my job. Like, a certain situation happened.
Go ahead. But talk a little bit louder because we're straining. Neil's got his ear to the computer here.
Okay. I have a question about my job. Well, a certain situation had happened yesterday at work. And I just wanted to see, like, what do y'all see with that? What you see with that? Like, do you see me losing my job or?
Oh, okay.
Well,
so
what
happened at work was something that you feel could be threatening your status there as an employee.
Right. Yes, ma'am. A girl that works there, She attacked me. I had scratches on my face.
She attacked you physically?
Yes, ma'am. And they let her go before the police came. My manager did. And he didn't offer to even call ambulance for me.
So did you file a police report? So he let her go, meaning like fired her or let her leave?
No, let her go home. Let her leave the premises.
Mm-hmm. So he and you were, did you file a police report?
Yes, ma'am. I waited till the police came and I filed one. But I know I need to go and do a warrant, but I don't know her address or nothing like that. So.
But doesn't your employer know her address? They should be releasing that to the police if they're trying to get a warrant.
Okay.
I mean, they're obligated, aren't they?
Okay.
Aren't
okay,
they?
I didn't know they would do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I'm calling you, asking how that, what do you guys do with that situation?
Well, we're wanting.
Because he told both of us. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ishia.
He told both of us that we're off the schedule until further notice. And I'm like, I didn't put my hands on her. Still trying to figure out how did she get to me because I wasn't even close to her. You was in the middle, so you moved out the way.
What kind of work do you do?
Security.
Security.
I have a migraine headache.
That's ironic.
Yes, ma'am. I do dispatch. Yeah.
You're dispatched. Does she do dispatch too, or is she
no,
like
ma'am. She does,
security guard?
She does security guard. Like,
yeah.
She's at a mall, so she walks the mall. Sometimes she drives the security car.
Wow.
And I've complained on her numerous of times, and I don't know why my manager still had us working together.
Wow. Well, really sorry that happened to you.
Well, you know, the nature, your fight, is this new for you, or have you had experiences with other people before where there's been physical fights or arguments? Are you accustomed to this, or is this brand new?
This is brand new. I don't like doing it at the workplace.
And I guess, are you asking in any situation?
Yeah, I mean,
in any situation,
yeah,
growing
you know,
up, in your
life.
Family, or even in school?
Oh, when I was younger, yeah, I've gotten a fight when I was younger.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously, well, there's a conflict going on that's apparent. And I don't know what, you know, if she's territorial or if she just has it in for you because she doesn't like your vibe or she's walking around with some kind of mental problem and she's a warrior at heart. Is this an aggressive woman? Does she have a lot of male energy, so to speak?
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah, I thought she was gay when I first met her.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, the issue, there's an issue here of territory, I think, when we go into the attitude of what is going on. So if we go into symbolizing what the fight is about, it's about territory. She's very territorial, and she probably feels threatened by you. Now, you may be thinking, what the heck? She's nuts. She's crazy. But you see, she's already coming with problems. She already has a mental problem situation
obviously,
going on. So you're the target. You're a target. And there's a bully thing going on. So it altercated. What, very briefly, what was the nature of the fight? What was the argument centered around?
I really didn't understand, really. I just know that my manager had called us in for a meeting. And I told him I didn't want to do the meeting because last night we had a meeting and she stood up to try to fight me again and he didn't stop it. You know, and he could have stopped the fight because, you know, when she was calling me out my name, he could have just separated us, you know, but he didn't. And she was saying something about I'm dispatched and I want to be a supervisor. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't even like working there. I'm just doing it because I need a job, you know, until I'm done with college. So I don't know know what it was about.
Well, was a police report filed?
I filed a police report, but it seemed like he was trying to talk to me. Like, he was more into, like, trying to talk to me versus that situation.
Wait,
I'm like, this is all going wrong.
Did police come on the scene?
It was a young police officer guy. And he was more into, like...
Did they come to your workplace?
One guy did, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But did they ask you questions? Did they take any comments down?
That's the thing. It wasn't like he didn't like ask everyone at the job. He was only talking to me. You know, like talk to my manager, try
so
to
didn't
get
take
statements and stuff. No, ma'am.
Okay, well,
he was more into trying to get my phone number.
Here's what I hear, you know, because the radio readings are rather brief, but here's what is going on. There are two issues going on. One is that you may be suspended and not be able to return, but I think you can take a legal action against that. And you might want to see if, I know how it gets complicated, but you might want to just talk to an attorney or somebody that protects civil rights or whatever it may be, job discrimination, job protection. He's obligated to give you security on the job. And if you did nothing wrong and you're being punished for it.
I recorded it too.
What's that?
Say that again.
I recorded it.
You recorded the fight?
Okay. So what you should contact, first of all, an attorney and get an idea, an attorney that represents job discrimination or job rights or something like that, and just get his idea as to what steps you should take. That's the first thing.
Don't quit
the job. What you want to see if
they fire you.
If they fire you or they continue to abuse you and you're not in the wrong, you can collect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the main thing is.
Don't you think she should talk to the police department too and, you know, state that there wasn't a full, you know,
You can go down to the police department and see if a report was made about the incident and also clue them in on what it was and make a statement.
Did the officer that took the report see your video?
Yes, ma'am. He's seen it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're going to, you're not happy there anyways, but the point is you may be moving on. That's what we're saying. You may be moving on.
But there's recourse.
There's recourse, and I think you need to be protected and you need to be compensated because this is not illegal. This is a legal matter where you may have to be compensated, and if there's a wrongdoing against you and you're not being protected, you have a case.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to contact the lawyer.
And I have evidence from when I was complaining about her and everything like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
did you see me, winning a case or something? Did you see me winning the case, or did you see me locked up about it?
I mean, that's jumping forward, but you have to go through the steps of trying to establish. First of all, there's no case yet. I mean,
you're jumping ahead. Kristen's right. What you need to do is find an attorney that would be willing to talk to you for free, a free consultation, and get a gist of what it is. But you need to go to the police department too to see if there's a police report that's been filed, and go there, and then with that go to the attorney. That's your first.
Okay, so go to police first. Okay.
And see what happens with your employer. I mean, if you get fired, then you know there may be a case.
Yeah. If your employee's telling you to stay home,
criminal case against this person.
If your employee's saying, "I want you to stay home until we have this all worked out," then stay home. You're following his orders, but that doesn't mean that you can't. Your own investigation. Don't cause any trouble and further at your work. Just go to the police and go to an attorney and take it from there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Ishia.
Yeah.
Hopefully that helps you.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Let us know. Call us back. Give us a progress report. Okay. Thank you for your call.
I will. Yes.
Good luck. Okay, 661 area code. Hi.
Hi, it's Leslie in Palmdale.
Oh, hi, Leslie.
Hi. I reached you to last Friday, like the last minute you were on, and I was very intrigued about what you were saying with Breakfast at Tiffany's, and it was so rushed, I wasn't sure really what to take from that, and I kind of wanted to explore that a little bit more.
Neil, so...
Birth deformities? What did you say?
No. Yes, isn't that intriguing? Birth deformities. No, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. I thought you were talking
a little bit different. 12:14:50 is her birthday. Oh my gosh.
What's her birthday?
12:14:50. And Leslie, someone you know from, you know, Carrie's, Leslie, you know Carrie.
Yeah.
And Leslie. Anyway, you're in Palmdale. Are you currently in Palmdale for Thanksgiving?
We live here now. We live here now. We were the ones who lived in Vermont for a really long time and just couldn't sell the house. We finally did. We came out here. We bought another place. And I was very intrigued when Neil said there would be a change in living arrangements. And I thought, well, we just bought this house. So
well,
I wasn't sure where to take that. Yeah.
That's why probably. And when you were on the phone, you know, when you called in on Wednesday or was it Friday, sorry. You said Vermont. I was saying Virginia. I said Virginia. I remember it was a V. I didn't remember exactly what state, but you said Vermont. So you didn't clue us in on the move. I'm guessing.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Oh, so no. After she moved after we said that?
No. Well, she just talked to us Friday. No, she's moved before, but you were saying I'm picking up a change in location. But she did move. She had moved. So you're probably picking up the move that she has made since. Because it's been like probably a year or two since you talked to us, right?
It's been a long time, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the move that he was probably picking up.
I recall the reading because we were talking about the cat in the movie.
Right. Uh-huh.
And how it anchored the movie because the cat, I mean, she called it cat, so it became a kind of a neat little thing in the movie, the way she called it cat. And then, of course, at the end, the cat escapes out of her arms and is hiding in the rain, and she's yelling for it. And then George Peppard, Audrey Hepburn, they find the cat, and they're all hugging and kissing now, and Moon River comes on. Okay, so what it is, if you recall, what it is, and it was a nice little movie, but I just want to say Mickey Rooney played a Japanese, it was a stereotype, and boy, did he get they got later criticized for the stereotyping of his performance. But anyways, aside from that, the energy of the cat and the around you is very important. Now, didn't you say that there's a cat there's a cat in the neighborhood? Didn't you tell me that?
Yes, there are actually a couple of them kind of wandering around, and one the other day just let out a huge yelp and took off running, so I don't know what it ran into, but it caught my attention.
Was that before or after you talked to us?
That was after. That was after.
Yeah. Okay. So that's... Yeah.
So there's an issue. You see, there's an issue about the cat. Now, in this movie, which I enjoyed except for that horrible depiction, that back in those days, it was acceptable, but you know, not today, no way.
Right,
I don't know if you recall Mickey Rooney's character. It was horrible the way they depicted, you know, the culture and everything. But he was always complaining and always yelling and always saying something about Audrey Hepburn's kookiness and the parties and everything. Well, there's somebody in the neighborhood, in your neighborhood, that I think has a little bit of a, well, kind of a bean side, nasty. Now, this doesn't mean that anything bad. There's nothing, we're not talking about anything bad happening or fatal or anything like that. But there's somebody in the neighborhood, your neighborhood, that has just a little bit of a nasty edge.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do, Chris and I, we're going to put a protective energy field around you. I mean, this is okay to do. We're on the radio and we're psychics. It's okay to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you say that you have, you're in Palmdale, so sometimes the homes are kind of spread out there, but are the homes more clustered or well spread out?
No, these are clustered.
Yeah. So have you noticed anyone that has given you a nasty look, or have you gotten any bad vibe from anybody yet?
Not me personally, but there is one next door that quite a bit of domestic squabbling that I hear him doing over there, and he's the only one that I know of. But I said, not directly towards me or
not directly towards you.
Just
right.
That's the energy. Now,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we're picking up. So he just may be a belligerent person. Oh, now, are there any motorcycles around there, or any evidence of drinking beer or anything?
Not as far as I've seen, no.
Okay, but you've heard domestic arguing, yelling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Got it. That's the one.
Okay.
That's the one. So you probably don't. You probably want to just be, you know, wave hello, and then be very friendly on that level, and then just keep your distance.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, that's where it's coming from. Enjoy your home. You're fine. It's just identifying what it is, and you know, probably if you probe this guy's brain, you'd be thinking, oh, your ideas are horrible. God.
Mm-hmm.
Not a really nice person. So he probably, you know, you just don't want to get to know him. And the more you get to know him, the more trouble you get into. So you just want to be a cordial hello. And, you know, if he says something, just say, oh, yeah, okay, that's nice, that sounds great, and walk in the house.
And leave.
Yeah, that's what's
okay.
coming.
So are you enjoying Palmdale as opposed to?
Immensely. It's just wonderful. We just absolutely love it. We love our home. We love our neighborhood. We're close to so many things that we were so very far away from in Vermont. And, of course, the kids are here. Two of my children are here and grandkids from two of the children. And my other one lives in Las Vegas. So he's only a few hours away by car. So it's really wonderful being so close. It's just fantastic. We're so glad to be back.
Well, glad you made the move, Leslie, and thanks for getting in touch today.
Well, you're welcome. And you too have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So we have someone from 303 that's listening. So if she would like a reading, she can press one. Other than that, we've dropped a few callers. So I don't even know what we're...
They rushed out to go get breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Breakfast.
So is this person want to talk to us?
Apparently not right now.
You just want to listen?
Maybe
we have a great audience of one. All right.
Well, no, we get so many listeners in our archives, and we're on iTunes and everything. So some people can't join us live because of their work schedules, so on and so forth. So, you know, that's why.
You know, I mean, it's funny whenever you're in a given spot, any person's in a given spot, you have to think for a moment, if you're wise to existence in life, that you may be in a tribal situation.
Oh boy,
when
isn't
you're
that
in a
true?
Plane or you're in an auditorium,
in a neighborhood,
whenever there's a lot of people gathered in one place. There can be a tribal consciousness going on,
or
even if you don't even know the people, or you're not, even if you're antisocial, you're still caught in that energy field of a possible tribal consciousness.
Right. And going further than the neighborhood, even if you have people coming into your home to work on the home, that can be a tribal situation.
That can be a tribal situation. That's a little bit weird because that one more is one-to-one confrontation. That's a different situation when you have somebody coming to your home and there's an altercation. Like, for instance, in The Cold Blood, when that family was terrorized by the two killers and they were killed.
Well, I'm not talking about killers necessarily. I'm talking about people that are coming into the home doing work on the home.
Work.
Yeah.
I don't think that one's not as much tribal. That one's a different zone of energy. That's more of an individual kind of contract between two people that may extend backward in time to another contract.
Right, but they're coming into the home on a tribal. I mean, they're in your clan. Right. They're in the clan working on, you know.
The terminology here, tribal, would be more of a broad canvas of a lot of people. So when you open up tribal, you're thinking of a little village, you're thinking of a small community. You're opening it up to where it's not just an individual setting and it becomes something much broader. You know, people, God forbid, people who die in an airplane, everybody, no survivors, it's tribal.
Right, or like 9/11, something like that.
9/11, or the Las Vegas thing, the massacre there. All of these are tribal situations, God forbid. I mean, And it, what it amounts to is that our souls are so connected to past life histories. And needless to say, the history of the world is filled with wars and violence and invasions, not to mention nation against nation, but village against village, tribe against tribe. And what happens is that the souls return to the planet and they're still occupied with that energy. And if there was karma involved in that energy, maybe they were the invaders. The roles now become reversed, and now they become the victim. Now, that doesn't explain or account for the fact that there are evil things in the world, and it has nothing to do with tribal. There are bad people that kill people. Bad things happen. Let's keep tribal consciousness out of it. Of course, there's that definition. We're taking the leisure time to explain. Well, we're going into a world of leisure conversation. This isn't the immediacy of the court system where we're talking about the legalities of doing wrongdoings and things like that. We're talking about the more of the symbolic, mystical, metaphysical reasons for why things happen on the planet the way they do.
So like our former caller, Leslie, in her situation where she's moved into a new neighborhood and she has this gentleman who has some, behavioral issues. That's a tribal situation for her that she's moved into.
Because it's neighborhood.
Right.
We just read in the paper recently of a crazy neighbor that killed a lot of people in the neighborhood because he was feuding with somebody, and then he ended up killing a lot of people when he went off the rocker there. But, that's not her situation. Her situation is
obviously
she has a kind of a belligerent neighbor that argues inside the house, screams a lot, and she's aware of it, or somebody, her neighbor, her roommate, or somebody's aware of it. And that's the indication of that energy. Why it relates so much to The Breakfast at Tiffany's is because in that movie, Mickey Rooney, the camera showed him screaming and yelling from one apartment to another about the noise that he kept hearing. So there was a correlation there. And that's all that it takes. But, it's difficult when you live in a neighborhood and you have a bad neighbor, when you have a neighbor that just, it's the bad mark on the neighborhood. They play loud music. They have loud parties. They don't respect the neighbors. When you have a situation like that and all the neighbors are somewhat concerned about it, it becomes tribal. It's a tribal situation. So,
or the neighbors are the other neighbors are unconcerned about it, depending on,
maybe so. It's funny because when you get into the study of insect colonies, if a member of the colony acts crazy, they throw them out. You can't.
Unfortunately, it's not so easy in a neighborhood to do that.
No,
I mean,
what we do in our day and age is we call the police and we start to limit their activity.
But I mean, that's also difficult to,
yeah.
It's easier for an insect to throw someone out of the colony than dealing with the legal system, which may not always be effective in intervening and,
Maybe so. I mean,
some people don't have noise ordinances in their community,
it doesn't, even calling the police doesn't work.
Right.
But what we have is this mass communication of cooperation. When we're talking about the cooperation on a massive level, and obviously we don't have that within our communities, more or less the entire planet, our communication system is broken down. Even now we're in terrible turmoil over communication between individuals, politicians, male and
men,
female. I mean,
comes to mind.
We're a human species, and yet we spend so much time in miscommunication, accusations, hurting one another. I mean, if you take it away, it all seems so needless. It creates an issue that's important to deal with, but the issue shouldn't be there in the first place. I mean, there shouldn't be an issue of dissension and aggravation along those lines. When you look at the massive portions of humanity, we also should be getting along. It's not the case. So when we have that energy, we start to deal with conflict. And as soon as we deal with conflict, then we get into the idea of our first caller who has within the job a conflict going on. Actually, both calls are somewhat similar.
Right.
The second caller, not much of a conflict. She hears some noises. They're fighting in the house.
But it's indirect rather than a direct.
Yeah, nothing totally threatening. But yet there's a sort of verbal violence going on within that household.
Right,
that,
and having
that
to
permeates
be,
through the walls.
Right,
and she
having to hear that is annoying.
The first caller, at her job, which is going to be more tribal, there's an altercation and there's a fight and she's scratched and the police are called. And now at least the stability and security of her job situation is being compromised and threatened. So now we have this idea of, you know, both callers come in with, of course, the first caller with a more of an urgent sense of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have conflict going on in on our show when we do readings, I mean, conflict can even be, I'm not getting hurt or anything. I'm just looking for a house. I'm looking for a job. You know, conflict is around us constantly, and that's what sometimes promotes the idea of communication. So I think when we're looking at least on our show, basically when we look at our callers and we're addressing the situations that they have, conflict becomes a very, very, very important theme. And then that pertains to karma, and that, of course, pertains to all kinds of things that take different channels of seriousness or maybe something less than that.
Okay, let's take this caller, Neil. We have Amy. Amy, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Thanks to
you
too.
12/16/73.
She's 30
yes,
equals 3.
So
how
honest.
Is your home? I try to be, not always, but... how was your conference?
I'm sorry, what was that?
The conference that you went to. I think that's what you talked about.
It was absolutely fabulous. It was life changing. It really was. I'm so grateful. I took, those little things of money and all those things that, of course, deter you away or make blocks. I just went anyway, regardless of the circumstances. And, I knew I needed to go, and I was so happy that I did. Very empowering.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So what's going on today?
So it's very close. My reunion's coming up this Saturday, and it's 25 years since the reunion. So just wondering, I'm like having these funky dreams about it. I'm just so back and forth. I bought already the ticket, so I have to go. But I don't want to go. It's like this whole mixed messages,
well,
I guess.
I mean, do you have to go? If you don't want to go, can't you get a refund on your ticket or a credit of some sort?
Okay, so here's what happened. I know that universe, I need to do this. Why? Because I flip-flopped 3 times. I sent in the check to just give you the synopsis. I sent in the check. And he did not deposit it, so I had him rip it up. The last day of that you could purchase tickets, I bought another ticket. So I'm serious. It's crazy. I just feel like I need to go for whatever reason. I've never gone to any of them. I just feel I need to do this. Yeah. So I know I need to do this. It's just yeah.
And what's your motivation regarding attending? Why are you, flip-flopping back and forth?
Well, it's just, of course people have freeze frames of you. We went to school and, there was no internet. So of course things have changed. But people still have that freeze frame of who you are, and just some of the comments that people are making. I thought it was just a general comment. Somebody was asking, who's going? Do you have a list? Because it was like almost the last day to buy tickets. And then, somebody else was like, well, who cares? Just go. And it's just like, oh my goodness, really? Do you have to be like that? I don't know. It just sounded.
And are you in the immediate location? Like, where? How far away is the reunion?
10 minutes.
Oh, so you're right there. So it's the tickets that you bought are just the tickets for the reunion, not a plane ticket or anything?
No. No.
And you're, do you keep in touch with people from high school?
I just, for me, honestly, I think what you're asking, what's my real intention? My intention is that the fact it's already been, I just need to walk through the door of fear. It's out of my comfort zone, I know, but I just feel like I need to do it. I even told myself if it's 5 minutes that I last there, it's 5 minutes. It's fine. But if I don't go, I have a few, I know I'm going to regret it. I know it. Because that's why I was flopping.
Well, you know, the one of the purposes of the reunion is, you know, you look at your high school years and your friendships and what role you played in high school at that time, whether you were popular or whether you were in this crowd or that crowd. What kind of place were you in high school? How would you describe your social situation there?
Honestly, I was the girl next door, just did her homework and went home. And that's it. That's pretty much it. I didn't go to my proms. I had a tough time. I'm not the only one, no, but I also was diagnosed with my visual impairment in high school. So I was a sophomore in high school.
So it's bringing up a lot of memories for you, probably.
Even just the way I'm not that woman, I'm that girl anymore. And I just kind of want to start out fresh and new. And just because it's the reunion doesn't mean I'm going to be talking to the same people. Which
so reestablishing your identity and kind of reforming your, you know, what changing the impression that you made in high school, you want to come out as this new person. So that's why.
Yeah, and it's really nothing like, it's not like I have to be there for hours on end. It's like, I know when I need to leave and I will. So I know that.
Well, you know, I mean, it sounds like what your depiction of yourself in high school, it sounds like you weren't totally real popular. You just sort of went to school,
blended
did
in.
Your work, blended in, nothing outstanding, and you went home, and no one really took a lot of notice towards you. You weren't in any great groups. Did you ever have
That's
a boyfriend
right.
in school?
No.
See, so what you're really saying is, you know, that part, what do I really have connected to? I mean, I went to high school, but there was no real emotional tie. If you go there to establish a sense of how far you've come, or you go there now not under the impression that you are still in that situation, or maybe somebody might say, I remember you, Amy. I remember you. Oh, my God.
Yes.
You know, maybe unbeknownst to you, somebody does know you. And
right.
I remember a lot of, when I was in high school, seeing a lot of kids that I didn't befriend or know. And I thought to myself, God, there's a lonely soul. They have no friends, nothing like that. And those people still stick out in my mind. A lot of people in high school that were the not wannabes, the people that nobody really wanted, they turn out to be the most successful. So going back and placing that energy and seeing what the experience is, just, you know, whatever it is that you take is one thing. Going back and saying, this is going to make me feel more displaced, more out of the way. I really don't have any connection here. I mean, like Kristen was saying, you're not obligated to go. If you feel there's a sense that there might be a reason why, it may be part of your journey to just look back, experience it for what it is, and then step out of it. Somebody may even talk to you that you didn't have before. So you're looking at different people who may say, well, who are you? Well, I'm Amy. Well, who are you back then? I don't know if they show photographs or anything, old pictures. They probably do.
Yeah, probably.
So, you know, connect. And they're going to, you know, they're adults now. They're not in that little high school.
Exactly. And that's the reason why I'm going. It's aren't I making a freeze frame of them too? Of like, oh, this person was like this, that person was
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Definitely a mutual understanding. Like, but the point is that people are going to be fixed. I know that too. You walk in with anything goes, and not having expectations. That's really my sense of intention when I walk in there. Don't have expectations of what this could be or should be or for what people are going to be like. I'm just going to be in there. That's it. And just say hi, hello, and not really get into, like, long, in-depth conversations. Because they are, essentially, you haven't seen them in so long that you don't know them. I don't know
right.
them anymore.
Yeah. Are you going by yourself?
Yes, on purpose, because if I go with somebody, they don't know anybody either. I just don't want to
right,
bore
and you're
going
to get stuck in this little, you're not going to be able to, you know, interact as much as you would
yes.
if you're alone.
Yes.
I don't, you
and
know.
Go ahead. No, I just even contemplated, like, bringing somebody. I'm like, well, maybe that'll be, like, you know, at least I'll have somebody that I really want to talk to or whatever. But, again, that will deter. I could do that at a restaurant. That'll just deter me away from actually being in the presence of the reunion itself. That's my whole thing as well.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
you know, we're discussing it. Maybe this helps, but I don't see any harm in going. I mean, it is part of your history. It's a 25-year reunion. You're
mm-hmm.
just connecting, and what you can do is just say, I lived in these halls for a while. I this is who I was back then.
When
you're reconnecting on that level. What do you do now?
She does like motivational speaking. She's visually impaired, and so she
oh,
does
yes,
that
yes,
kind
yes.
of thing. When's the last time Neil went to a reunion?
Me?
Yeah.
I never went.
I didn't think so.
I didn't even go to school.
No, yes, you did. He did go to school.
But
yeah.
No, I mean, those things just aren't important to me. But you know, I mean, that's irrelevant. That doesn't, who cares?
No, I'm just, well, it's relevant if I'm asking.
No, it's relevant if you're asking, but what I'm saying
yeah.
is, to me, it doesn't,
it's not
you
relevant
know, whether
to
it's
you
important
going,
to me, or it doesn't,
well, it's
you know,
just,
you're a motivational speaker. I think that's
yeah.
very interesting. That's a fact. If somebody says, oh, I may be, oh, well, what are you doing? I'm a motivational speaker now. I was visually impaired, and that was part of my challenge. And now I'm a motivational speaker. Oh, how interesting.
Well, another yeah. thing is that, you know, the last time we spoke with Amy, she was going to this conference. And perhaps, I mean, if these people are, you know, they may be able to provide opportunities for you, knowing that you're a motivational speaker. Who knows?
Yeah.
You might be able to network at the reunion.
There's also another factor. I mean, a little bit of, I think I'm only human after all. I mean, I'm now using a cane. So it actually kind of, you know, if you see a person walking in with a cane or whatever, and I get this, it's a ripple effect of it. I'm not going to let it deter me, but the last time they saw me, I was driving. I could see better or all that other stuff. So there's a lot of, and just even not even saying hello, they'll see me with my cane as well. So
listen,
cool.
I have a collection of canes. So, you know,
well, she's
so what?
Using a different, you know, a
she's
visually impaired cane.
Visually
for
impaired.
Sight,
yeah, I know
but,
what you mean. But so
yeah.
what? So what? So what, Amy? You know, you go in, you're a motivational speaker. That doesn't mean you're sitting in your bedroom and not
recording.
No, you know, be
but it's also, you
celebrate
know,
your
I'm,
life. Celebrate it's your it's life. Celebrate true. How you're living it. And,
no.
you know.
Stand up. You guys are open. I'm telling you, it's like, I'm not saying, trust me, I'm going for that reason. I just want to go there and just here I am and that's it. But I mean, I'm also like the psychological part of people. People are just that people. So I think the best way to go for me is, again, no expectations. Be on par. Be Amy. And that's all I could ask for. That's all I could ask for.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. So. Yeah.
Well, so are we. And, you know, and it's a sense of personal courage.
Yeah, definitely. Especially going by yourself and stepping in there and saying, this is who I am now. And I think it's, you know, brave of you.
I think it's just, I just need to walk through that door. I think, you know, again, you can only get through a problem, so to speak, by going through that fire, not around it, not under it, not over it. It's not a problem, but it's definitely a block that I've been like, I even canceled my 20 year. I said, I'm not going because somebody was rude to me and I just took it personally and I didn't go. And then for here it is. Later, and I'm like, why? I just need to go because if it keeps on propelling, there's a reason for that. There is a reason
yeah.
for that.
I think
yeah.
it, you know, might be a personal journey you're going to of courage, and
yeah.
and validating your existence and not letting society say how you should hide or not be there. That
exactly.
you deserve a place and time and space here, and just as much as anybody else. And it's not a matter of who was popular, who wasn't. You're a human being, and you have a right to be there.
And besides that, the meaning of popularity in high school or in any setting really is not as much, you know, it doesn't have that much weight. I mean, when we're talking about the soul and the spirit, who cares if you're popular? I mean, you know, your life is your actions in life, what you do with your life, not how much notoriety you have is important.
To tell you the truth, if I was going to a reunion and I saw a person such as yourself at that, I would be kind of intrigued. You would probably be somebody I'd be staring at more than all the other common faces. I'd be thinking, God, that's interesting.
I will definitely let you guys know, and I think nothing beats being your authentic self with the whole popularity thing that you're just talking about. Yeah, I mean, the fact that I can go in there and be on my own and actually love me and not have to put up a front, like a little mask on, you know. There is mask with this. So.
Oh, what did you say? Say that there's a what?
The fact that I think it's interesting. This is the irony of all of this, of myself with the visual impairment, is that I'm pretty much exposed. There's no masks with me. And, people can wear them more easily than I can. You know, if I can't walk across the room without my cane, I can't. There's just no way. And that's just a fact with me. And I own it now versus like, oh, gosh, I'm bumping in with my cane and I'm sticking people with their feet with my cane. I can't worry about that. I don't see. It's a very interesting process of, wow, okay, so I'm hitting people in the feet. And I don't like that in crowds either, but I can't help it as well.
Right.
I don't see.
Well, you know,
so
human beings are supposed to accommodate one another. We're not just, it's just not one human being and there's only one type.
And in this day and age, we really have moved away from accommodating each other, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But,
it's hard, though. You know, I go to the grocery store. This is a little tidbit. I mean, I go to the grocery store. I get rolling of the eyes because I still have central vision. I could still text normally and things like that. I just don't have periphery. So in crowds, I'm bumping into people, literally. So I get that. You know,
I bet you, as someone who has a disability, gets more acceptance. I mean, you know, oftentimes people that are able-bodied or, you know, able to move around in the world without any obstructions are ruder to each other. I'm sure you get people that are kind to you.
Yeah, you do get both. Yes.
Really?
Yes, you do. Yeah. You do get both. But the thing is, that's the teacher. I mean, the teacher for me, and I talk about this in my engagements, is that if I go into a room, I always talk about this in my talk, it's a flip of a coin. The flip of a coin, it's going to be heads or tails. You're going to have people who say yes to you, and you're going to have people who say no to you. That is a fact with anybody. You could be purple. Doesn't matter. It's going to be, that's just the name of the game. The question is, how are you going to cope with that? Knowing that fact that it's going to be heads or tails, you're not going to be more towards the heads people or the tails people. There's a knowing that the whole coin is just that, a heads and a tails to make a coin. So if you go into a room or an environment or a situation saying, okay, somebody's going to say yes to me, yes, let me help you, or somebody's going to say, no, I've had it both ways, and it's very extreme. People are super, super nice to me, or they're super, super like, I don't want to deal with this lady. So that's my whole point is, why am I bringing this up? Is that the teacher for me is to go into any situation and at least 85% have no expectations and say, you know what? You are doing the best that you can. You love you. That's what matters. And you will get through this. Whatever way, if somebody helps you, great. If somebody doesn't help you, that's fine too. You gotta be there for you because no one's going to do it for you.
Well, that's the whole issue of being assertive and not codependent. So as long as you are centered in yourself and your attitude is strong, as we're hearing it being expressed, that's what's important. And you've learned how to control your own inner environment, regardless of what goes on around you. That's part of being a human being.
Yeah.
That's the highest part.
Amy, real quick, because we're going to close actually early today, what date is your reunion? When is it?
What date? It's this Saturday, so it's 11/25/17.
Oh, it's this Saturday. So let us know how it goes.
Yes, I will. I promise you that.
Please do. Please do. And good luck.
Thank you so much. And many blessings to you both.
You too. Okay.
Many blessings.
Happy
Thank
holidays.
You.
Thank you.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Kind of an odd weekend. Bye. Odd weekend to have a reunion because you would think that so many people are traveling and seeing families. They're doing Thanksgiving weekend, but whatever.
That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are closing early today and appreciate all our callers and listeners. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving and save a turkey. Go vegetarian, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.